Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman. It's Azure Friday. I'm here with Kevin Lamb. We're talking about the Azure Scheduler. And we've done some basics, some 101 in the first video. We understand that you'll wake up at any time on any schedule, as complicated as we want it to be. You can put jobs on a queue, let me know, and I can pick that up in my worker role. But you can also invoke using any verb on an HTTP endpoint,
that's right,
a RESTful service. Now, the scheduling stuff is important. I want to be able to do weird schedules every third Friday and all that kind of weird stuff. How much can I do?
You can do a lot. So what we'll do is let's create this job. And the next step of creating a job is that you want to define a schedule.
Okay.
So there's kind of three scheduling paradigms that we can do. One is fire once. So just pick a date and time, and we'll actually fire that job once, and then your job's complete. You can think of that also as a immediate invocation. I want to create my job. We want to run that job now. It'll just run once, and you can see that it actually ran. So as a test.
For testing, yeah.
As a test job.
Okay.
But that's not as interesting as creating a complex schedule.
Right.
So let's go ahead and create something that's more complex. So instead of a one-time job, so if I had my one-time job, of course I can pick a specific time.
Right.
And you pick the start date and an offset. Right. We're in the Pacific Northwest, so it's -8. But if we pick a recurring job, right, your view changes so that you can now have some more options. For jobs that run every few minutes, there's not really much you can do in terms of constraining it to a rich schedule. It's like run every 2 minutes, great. It'll run every 2 minutes.
What happens if they're still running and the next job starts and things like that?
So the web request will time out after 30 seconds. So you have 30 seconds to complete your work, or the service that's in the background that's handling the request has to be savvy enough to make that asynchronous work happen on his back end. So he'll return a 200 or a 202 and then just continue working in the background.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, I have to return a 200 within 30 seconds or treat your request to me as the scheduler as a fire and forget notification.
Correct.
Return immediately, which means I couldn't still be doing the job when the second one shows up.
That's true.
And then I need to handle that myself.
That's right.
That makes sense.
And it doesn't have to be a 200. It's any successful HTTP error code.
If I return a 500 or something, you're gonna tell me?
What I will do is we actually have a retry policy within our job definition. So you can go ahead and have your own retry, but we have one by default.
Nice.
And we will continue a retry until that's successful. And by default, we'll retry four more times once every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And after the fifth attempt, we will say that occurrence is failed, and then we'll schedule the next occurrence. So for example, if you had a job that runs once a day and the job was failing, we'd try five times. If it failed, then we'll try again 24 hours later.
That makes sense. Yeah. And you're using it sounds like you respect REST, so you're just using RESTful definitions for HTTP response codes to indicate.
That's right.
When you would do that. 500, definitely something's bad. Give you a minute.
Anything above 400 is considered an error.
Okay.
200s are, anything in the 200 range is considered success.
Nice, okay. So there's a recurring job every 2 minutes.
Right, so that's not so exciting, but I mean, it's exciting in the sense that you can do something that at a high frequency.
Sure.
But if we went to something higher, for example, let's go to a monthly job. So when you have a monthly job, now you have more options in terms of what you can schedule and how often you can schedule it. So you can keep it as simple as run every 2 months. But if you wanted to have some more interesting or complex scheduling, you can check this checkbox for on a particular schedule. And if you want days, this will be days of the month. So I want it to run on the 1st, 2nd, and 4th of the month. And it'll actually run on those days of the month.
Ah, okay.
Every other month.
And if I said like the 31st, is it only going to run in a month that has a 31st?
Yes, it will only run in the month that has a 31st.
Okay. So in instances like that, I might want to say like the fourth Thursday or something like
that. Exactly. You can say the last. So if you didn't want to pick the particular days of the week, you can actually pick weekdays and say, I want to run on Monday and Friday. And then decide the first Monday or Friday, the first, the fourth, the last, or both. So you can get some pretty rich schedules in here.
So if people are already doing things on a regular basis, they already have stuff in Azure, and they may not even realize that this exists, they might want to do tidying up of SQL logs or downloading of logs from their web servers or event logs from their virtual machines. Any of those things would be appropriate to be put into a schedule and then to notify some service to go and do those things.
Absolutely. Even our first party services within Azure are using Scheduler to do those types of workloads. For example, I have a diagnostics log and I want to cut off the diagnostics log every 2 months and cull it. So it actually happens once every day, but then we'll cull it so that you only have two
truncate
months of
it.
Logs.
Yeah.
Other guys are using it to do Hadoop workloads so that they'll actually do a lot of back-end processing at the end of the day or every end of the week to go and do some analysis based on the work that they're doing.
And what kind of pricing is it?
So the pricing for, we're still in preview mode, so we have preview mode pricing. For a standard job collection, it's $10 a month, and you get to have as many jobs as you can create. The constraints are 10 job collections with 50 jobs in each job collection, so that's 500 jobs you can create.
So it's $10 per collection, you said?
No, $10. Once you use a standard collection, that's $10 per month, period, flat.
Oh, I see. So you make a collection, you make one, or what was the other number? How many?
You can create up to 10 job collections with 50 jobs in each job collection.
Okay.
And so that's up to 500 jobs.
That's $10 also?
That's $10.
All
use one or 500, it's $10.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, 10 bucks? I don't know. I mean, I only had one job. If I only had one thing to do,
right,
then maybe $10 would
be. But we
do
have a free tier, so if you want to just try it out and see if it's, if it's working, we constrain it so that you can only have one job collection with five jobs in it. And then the max frequency for that is 1 hour, just to make sure that you're...
Oh, okay.
You know, if you want to try it out and you can do some dev trial stuff, and that's fine. But then as you actually start using it in your applications, then move up to the standard tier.
So like for me, doing some of my hobbyist work on the side, downloading logs, the free tier might work for me.
That's right.
But if I'm going to be doing like, you know, regular bill payments and things like that, then I would use the bigger
one. That's right. If you want a high frequency job or you want lots and lots of jobs, then yeah.
Why would I want a job to run in a particular region? Why does it matter if it's just going to call an endpoint?
It only matters in terms of if you really want that latency for your job. But considering that the max frequency for any job is 1 minute and the maximum latency between any data centers of Azure around the world is always going to be less than a second, it really may not matter.
And
but you may want it to run in the same same region just to manage locality of all your services,
right,
for example.
And I understand, of course, that you know, egress is what we pay for as far as our bandwidth out and things like that.
Right.
If you were doing something every minute all the time, 24 hours a day, presumably keeping it in the same data center is free because it's...
Yes. Now, one of the things that we do for you is we will actually eat the egress costs. You're not paying for any egress. So if you're,
really?
If you're running your job in Southeast Asia and it's actually hitting some endpoint in Paris, you know, you won't see an extra charge in your bill for egress.
Okay,
sure.
So $10
a month.
That's an important point. That's good stuff. I hope that the pricing represents that. It's explained somewhere.
Yeah, and the other thing that's really important to note is you're getting high availability for your jobs. So if one of those data centers goes down, we always have a geo-redundant pair that will make sure that it's going to run that job someplace else.
Oh, okay. So if I could put it in West U.S., you know, and something bad happens in West U.S., it's going to get called somewhere, somehow.
That's right.
That call is going to be made.
That's right.
That's very cool.
So you don't have to worry about anytime some error comes up in the Azure dashboard, oh, no, I got to stop this job and re-enable it someplace else. And you know, that's what you have to do with some of the resources today, but not with the scheduler. We will actually handle all that for you.
That's cool. Some of these new app services are really nice because it's like do one thing and do it well. It's like, you know, here's queues. This is what they do. They do it well. They do it reliably.
Right.
Same thing with... service bus, and now the scheduler. Very cool. We're learning all about Azure Scheduler here with Kevin Lamb on Azure Friday.